And now back for a return engagement, Mr. David Layer from the NAB, Vice President of, Advanced Engineering?
Yes.
There we go. I've introduced him before. Always a great speaker, and please welcome David.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for inviting me, Wisconsin Association people. It's great to be here. A little different topic. I was here this morning, and I know we heard a lot about kind of nuts and boltsy type stuff. But I'm going to talk about something a little different. I'm going to talk about metadata for radio. And I'd like to start off by sharing with you some of the results of a test drive I did of an Audi A4 back in February. The reason this A4 was of interest is it has a hybrid radio. And for those of you who haven't heard that term, the way I'm trying to use it right now, that means a radio that receives both over-the-air signals and signals over mobile broadband. So it's connected to the internet. And this is the way of the future. Audi is the groundbreaker. They're the first company to start selling cars with the hybrid radio. But last year, Mercedes started too, and we expect other automakers to get on board that trend. So pretty excited that I was able to get this Audi. Audis are nice cars too to drive. So I did a test. Here's what it looks like inside the vehicle. That's a big touchscreen. And if you look, you also see the display on the dash too, because Audi has what they call their virtual cockpit. And it allows you to put different things. You can have a map there, you can have your radio, and so on. So this is kind of the home screen of that entertainment system. There you can see I've highlighted with that yellow arrow the radio button. And if you push that button, these are the different sources that you have at your disposal. And you'll notice that there's typical ones, but the most interesting one there is the online one, okay? Because this car now provides access to online radio. I know if I'm probably not the only person in the room who hates that term, but it's not radio, it's streaming. But this car supports it. So my goals in doing this test were twofold. It turns out that one of the coolest things a hybrid radio can do is switch between the over-the-air signal and a streaming audio version of the program if the car, in this case, I guess, gets too far away from the station. So the signal's weak, it's not well received, or maybe for some other reason, maybe there's some interference that's causing the signal to behave poorly, the over-the-air signal. So this car, if the broadcaster is providing access to the stream, and that's a point I'm going to talk about in more detail shortly, then this vehicle will switch to that. And I wanted to observe that behavior. I wanted to see how far out I would go before it would switch. And I'm not going to present that data here today, but I can tell you that it's not, you know, it's still something they're working on. Because what I found was that in some cases, I was way outside of the strong signal area of the station, yet it wasn't switching to the stream. I've discussed my results with Audi, and we've analyzed them. And the conclusion we came to in that case is that there was another station on the same frequency, and from a signal power standpoint, the power level hadn't dropped so that the receiver would notice it and switch. So, you know, there's issues like that. On another radio that I drove, it actually worked just like you would expect it to. It was kind of hilly, and as soon as I went through the mountains and got onto the other side, it switched to the stream. So that was one part of my test. The part that I'm going to talk about in detail now, though, is how the metadata is working in this car. And when I talk about metadata, I'm referring to, you know, information that's usually related to the audio program. But it's not audio, it's text, it's song title and artist, or it's an image, it could be the station logo, or and a piece of album art. So, and in the case of a hybrid radio, metadata could be the streaming URL. Okay, so that's what I wanted to see. And it's an especially interesting thing to consider in the Audi, because in addition to having the hybrid radio that I've just kind of briefly described, the Audi also has an in-vehicle database of song information. And this is something that cars do nowadays, and many people don't realize. I've talked to a couple of you here today prior to my talk, and brought this up, and you're like, huh, what, really? And this is true. This car has, it's made by a company called Gracenote. And so if your radio station isn't providing metadata, and a listener is listening to it in this Audi, and you've got the settings set up probably, you know, by default, the default settings, the listener sees a song title and artist and album art for your station, even though you're not transmitting it. So the car provides it, and it's a good thing. I mean, it really provides a much nicer user experience, and the broadcasters basically don't have to do anything to support that. So it's an interesting technology, and it sounds pretty good, but there are some issues, and the issues are what I'm going to talk about. So let's look at what I found. In this first screenshot here, you see that there's album art on the receiver. Well, the guy who runs this station, this was WTOP-FM in D.C. Dave Colasar is a guy whose name you might have heard. He's been the lead engineer in implementing all digital AM at D.C. station. Well, I went to show him this car, and we looked at his station, and he pulled his phone out of his pocket, and he says, I've got access to my automation system right here. And this artwork that they're showing on the screen is not the artwork that we transmit. And you can see in the circle here, that's what they transmitted. And, oh, this is a laser pointer too, isn't it? How does it work? Maybe not. You know, it's different artwork, okay? So what the receiver did was it favored the Gracenote on in-vehicle database artwork over the artwork that was being transmitted by the broadcaster. And that's not good for broadcasting. Broadcasters should be in control of the content that the listeners are seeing. And this is a point that we make to automakers when we have the opportunity. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have much leverage as an industry to compel them to make use of our metadata. We need to be their partner. We need to give them some business reason or something else that helps them realize this is important to broadcasters. So this is the first thing. Now the second screen here is the favorite screen, like presets. Here it is up close. What you notice on the left is that each station has a logo in the list of favorites. And what you also notice is that these are not just over-the-air signals. This third one down, if you look by the arrow here on the right, you see it says web. That's because that station is coming in. That's one of those online radio stations. And the reason I'm talking about this slide so much is most broadcasters do not provide a logo. And on a screen like this, where there's content from the broadcast, the local broadcasters from SiriusXM, and from online radio stations, the local broadcasters not providing logos starts to make the radio service, you know, look like the poor cousin. The service, the old service, the service that isn't providing enough information. Now here's a video. I'm going to hit this button again, and you're going to see me sweep through the dial. And if you look on the left there, you see those logos. Every station on this display has the same logo. And that's because that's the generic FM logo that is shown when the broadcaster hasn't provided it. And just watch how I sweep through this. There you go. There's starting to see some logos. Looks quite different, too. And it's impressive looking when it's there. But you can see how many. And this was done in West Virginia, Martinsburg, West Virginia, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. and Frederick, Maryland. So there's actually quite a few logos on this display. I think if I did that here in Madison, I don't think we'd see as many logos. So this is really, I mean, the long and the this is, I think, one of the most powerful arguments for letting broadcasters know they need to start doing this. And it's not hard and it's not expensive. So that's just kind of my opening. This is my agenda for today. I want to talk a little bit about NAB. We have something called the Digital Dash Best Practices document, which we actually came out with in 2017, but we just updated it. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk briefly about U.S. hybrid radio in the U.S., because it's actually arriving here. That the Audi that I've been talking about had hybrid radio in Europe a couple of years before it had hybrid radio here. So I'll talk about the U.S. rollout and then just some, you know, call to action at the end. So let me talk about NAB. I hope most of you know about NAB. I work in the technology department. You know, we're most well known perhaps for our trade shows, and we haven't had one in 2 years, so that's an issue. But we are having one in October, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. Here's a slide about the show, and I've been talking to some of you here today about the show. I think those of you who are following the show and are thinking about going may have seen that we're going to be requiring vaccination. And one of my lunch buddies today had the app that NAB is using for that. I hadn't seen that yet. So, this is how it's going to be. It was not a unanimous decision to require vaccines, but I know that our conventions team did a lot of surveying, and what they found was that I think the number I heard was 85% of our audience wanted a vaccine requirement, and so that's where we are. And I'm excited about the show. I know it's not going to be like a normal show, but I think those of us who go will really get a lot out of it. I mean, just like we're getting a lot out of this event here today. So here's our department, the technology department. We actually have a partnership, if you will, with our legal department. We have two of the people in the legal department also work with us, and Bob Weller, he's a great guy. I don't know if any of you know Bob. He's a ham, so maybe some of you ham radio people have talked to him on your ham radios. He's a PE. He's had a lot of interesting jobs. He worked for Hammett and Edison. He worked at OET at the FCC, and he's been with NAB now for nearly 10 years, I guess. Allison, I'm sorry, I wanted to say a word about Allison, too. Allison used to work for Facebook. And she's one of these people who, I'm sure you've all encountered people who have both legal degrees and engineering degrees, and that's where Allison falls into that category. So, and apparently today is Sam Matheny's birthday, so I'll let him know that the Wisconsin Broadcasters Clinic wishes him a happy birthday. So that's our department. Let me talk for a moment about what we do with the industry. We have two technical committees, the National Radio Systems Committee, which is open to all, and the NAB Radio Technology Committee, which is a committee comprised of NAB members who are have technical backgrounds, VPs of engineering or chief engineers, something like that. And we do technical standard setting work within these committees. The Radio Technology Committee provides guidance to NAB on technical and regulatory matters, because fundamentally NAB is a membership organization, so it's important for us to know what our members are thinking and how they feel about things. So this committee is a way for us to determine that. Perhaps the most exciting thing we're working on, though, for the industry within our department is PILOT. PILOT is our innovation initiative. This information here I pretty much went over already. But PILOT, John Clark, was hired to lead PILOT. These are some of our members. Basically, what PILOT is giving us an opportunity to do is reach out to non-traditional broadcast, companies that aren't normally associated with broadcasting. That's probably the best way to say it. And the digital companies who are proving to be so dominant in the media industry. You know, we want to work with them, and PILOT is providing us an opportunity to do that. One of the most important projects Pilot has done is currently going on, and it involves making sure that the radio interface for cars using Android Automotive is a good one. And Android Automotive, for those of you who have never heard that term, is an operating system for cars. It's not like Android Auto, right? I mean, I have an Android phone in my pocket, and I can turn on Android Auto, and I project what's in my smartphone onto the receiver display. Android Automotive is built into the vehicle. And we have, in early versions of cars with Android Automotive, had an absolutely horrible radio interface. And by contrast, they had a great streaming audio interface, because this is where this is where Google's head is at, is in internet-delivered services. So we put together a coalition. Oh, darn it, I didn't include that slide. It's broadcasters from all over the world. It's a couple of car companies. And we are working to develop an interface that we can provide the Android project, because this is an open source project like other Android things. And so this is really, really important, because many car makers are saying they're going to use Android Automotive. So, and having Pilot in existence and having established relationships with Google through Pilot really helped to facilitate this work. So it's really a good example of why Pilot is so important to the industry. So here's another thing we have that Pilot supports. It's our radio test bed, and we just moved it to our new building, and this shows you what's in it. It was built by Cavell Mertz & Associates back in 2014 for AM. We expanded it for FM, and now what we have within this rack is basically three AM and three FM radio stations. And the goal is to do, this is the really what the test bed is best at, is doing adjacent channel testing. And you can see here's an example of three adjacent channels in the FM band, and this was a picture taken in the test bed. This is the kind of signal we can create in the test bed. We can adjust levels, we can see, you know, at what point does the interference become objectionable, that sort of thing. So this is just another neat thing that we've done with Pilot. So here's my last picture of Mike Rhodes. If maybe some of you know Mike, he works for Cavell Mertz, and he's the guy who built this for us, him and his colleague Dan Ryson. And this is a picture in our new building, and we just moved it to the building in January, and we've been upgrading it. We added a new audio distribution system, and we've got a multipath simulator and that sort of thing. And we would love to work with broadcasters on doing tests too. So I'll just put that out there to you radio broadcasters in the audience. If you think there's a need for some testing, send me a note, you know, give us a call, and let's see if it's something that the NAB testbed could support. So that's about NAB. Now I want to talk for a minute about the Digital Dash best practices, which are all about metadata. This is really, you know, the thrust of my talk today. This is a picture from the radio show in 2017. And that's Fred Jacobs up there on the dais introducing this report to the industry. This is when it first came out. It's an interesting report. It's available free of charge. I hope you go download it and check it out. What we did was we did an audit of metadata usage in three cities, Philadelphia, Charlotte, and Grand Rapids. And just to kind of establish a baseline, and this is what we found. This is just an example from Philly and Charlotte. And if you look at that top line there, green, which means broadcasters are doing a good job with their metadata, the percentages were pretty low. So this is just a zoom in on that. So the report talks about that audit, and then most of the report talks about how to improve things. And it was clear to us that with the advent of hybrid radio, it was time to take this report and create an update. So we did that in June. And again, I'll have this. You guys have the URL if they distribute the presentation. So it's a 29-page. The report itself is 29 pages long, and I think it's pretty good reading for you know us radio broadcast engineers, right? And then there's a 3-page summary of best practices. So I would encourage everybody who you know works at a radio station in here to get this and socialize it within your companies. So one of the new things in the report is we're now providing some information on hybrid radio, and it's a challenging environment because different car makers use different metadata providers. And the bottom line on that is that if a broadcaster wants to make sure their station looks as good as it can on every car, well then they're going to have to be working one way or another with different metadata service providers. So we think this is useful. We expect this chart to grow too, because I mentioned a moment ago that I think hybrid radio is the new trend for radio services. Something else we've added to the report is a list of service providers. And I'm hoping, I don't know that I captured all of the service providers that are out there. I'd love to increase this list. If you work for a company that provides these kinds of services, or if you know of one, please let us know so we can expand this and make it a more useful resource. But there's 5 key points that we're making in the update that I want to go over with you all now. And this is the first one. It's really important to support metadata. I was just showing you, I showed you the video. I showed you some of those screenshots. Here's some more screenshots. The one on the left, on the top, that's an example of how broadcast radio looks when all the stations that are being shown display logos. And you'll notice the third one down, 97.1, has a song title and artist information, and that's because that's the station that's currently tuned to. So this is a typical thing in these radios that have these guides like this. They don't normally show what's playing on every station, but they will show what's playing on the station that's currently being listened to. So that's the top left. Top right, again, this is a point I've already made. If you're not using logos, you look pretty bad. And then this last larger one here on the bottom is, again, a favorite screen. And then this time we've got 2 FMs. Fish Radio was a Sirius XM station, I believe, and then this web-based station here at the bottom. So you're not just going to be displayed with other radio stations. And these other services, they all have logos. Okay, so if you're not going to have a case where you're looking at Sirius XM or online radio and you're not seeing logos, that's only going to happen with the AM and FM radio. So we can do something about that. So this is my second point, and I already introduced the concept a few minutes ago. These in-vehicle databases, and they do a couple things. They raise consumers' expectations, because once you've had a car like this and you see metadata on every station, you know, consumers like that. So, and if they get a car without the in-vehicle database, you know, it's not going to look as good. But if it's a hybrid radio and the broadcaster is providing the metadata, it will. I mean, it's just something that the broadcasters need to do. The second point here levels the playing field. And by that, I mean that there's 15,000 plus broadcasters in the U.S., radio broadcasters, and most of them are not providing good metadata. But on this radio, they look just as good as the ones that are. Okay, so there's a leveling effect there. I would hate for broadcasters to become complacent, though, or rely on the manufacturers to do something that they probably should be doing themselves. But at least at the moment, you know, I'm sure many broadcasters love it. It's like, this is great. I don't have to do any metadata. But now, you know, here's the other problem, though. Audi is like 1% of the car market in the U.S. So You just can't rely on that. This last point, this is the other point I made earlier, and this is the point that we at NAB are trying to engage automakers on, and that is that if a broadcaster is providing the metadata, then it should be displayed. It should take priority over some in-vehicle database. And here's some more slides from my Audi testing. And there are settings where you can tell the receiver to either use or not use GraceNote. Okay? Now, I consider myself like an expert user, so I knew about this, and I was able to go in there and adjust this. I think it's fair to say that most consumers aren't going to do this, and whatever the default setting is the setting they're going to use. And I can tell you in the Audi, the default setting is the online additional data is selected. So when it's selected, this is what I discovered in my test drive. The broadcaster metadata is suppressed in favor of the GraceNote metadata. So that's not good at all. And Q, maybe you've heard about or maybe you've even talked to or are working with Q Interactive. This is a company, a metadata company, which is working to monetize the metadata available during commercials, primarily, so that when a commercial comes on, you can put up an image of, you know, your advertiser's logo, or you can put their URL in the text field, that sort of thing. So broadcasters that are using Q service, they're out of luck in the Audi if the GraceNote database is selected, because the car won't show it. And I have some examples of that. Now, okay, one other point though here, if you deselect that, which is what I did when conducting this test, the broadcaster metadata gets through, but then the online radio stuff, that doesn't have any metadata, because the online radio relies on the song recognition that the GraceNote provides. So it's not, and I've talked to Audi about this, and they said that this is going to be easier to use in future editions. So we'll see. So here are some examples. This is what the metadata that the broadcaster was sending looked like, and this was in a commercial break. And you can see what they've done is they've put up a slogan and their station frequency and call sign and their logo. Well, if you turn back on the GraceNote database, that message that was being shown in the text goes away. It just doesn't get displayed. So if that text had been, you know, buy something at Home Depot, and it had been sold, well, that would be an issue. You know, and that's just a problem. And so we want to make sure that automakers understand this, and we need to find a way to motivate them to work with us, to agree with us that yes, if the broadcaster is sending metadata, we should prioritize that. So, so there's my first example. Here's another example with NPR, and NPR has story-level metadata for Morning Edition and All Things Considered, I believe, the two morning and evening radio shows that they do every day. And here you see an example of that. But when I switch to the GraceNote, it goes away. The Morning Edition logo goes away, and it's replaced with the station logo, which is stored in the receiver. So, you know, this is another example of that. Last example, here's an example with the online data. Again, I had it set up so that the broadcaster data was favored, and there's no data showing up, but then I switch it, and sure enough, you get the song title and artist, and you get an album art. So I was pretty well convinced of what I'm claiming here, which is that, you know, this car is not prioritizing broadcaster metadata the way broadcasters would like it to. This is my last example. And this is interesting. This is something I learned during this test. Some broadcasters, I like to call it stage the metadata, so that before the song actually starts, the metadata shows up on the display, and that's all, that's very, you know, You have to work to do that. You have to understand the timing delays and this and that. So they'll put this up just a couple seconds before the song starts. So it's kind of like an intro to the song. The DJ might be wrapping up a commercial or, you know, just saying something about the station, and then goes into the song. Well, again, when I switched, different artwork like we saw earlier. Now we're using Grace Note, and that staging that the broadcaster had done, that presentation of the metadata is gone. Because the Grace Note system, and I think this is true of every in receiver database that I've seen, they use audio fingerprinting. So there's no way you can display any information about the song until it's been playing for at least 4 or 5 seconds. So this is another reason why, you know, this is kind of, you know, something else we tell the car makers is, look, this is part of our signal. This is part of what we deliver to customers, and you're just writing over it. That's just, you know, you can't keep doing that. So, third point here is that there's something called Radio DNS. It's a Radio DNS is a nonprofit association which develops technical standards for hybrid radios. And Radio DNS maintains a database that the Audi and the BMW hybrid radios use. So, and it's free to use. Broadcasters just have to spend some time, you know, some resources, assign a person to set us up on Radio DNS. There's no cost involved. So, and there's a ton of information on how to do this. So today I'm encouraging broadcasters to go look this up, and what you do is you do two things. You register your station, and then you create an HTML file called, an XML file called an SI file, service information file. And that has all the information on where your logos are. It has your streaming URL. It has other station information, like the slogan we saw, that sort of thing. Shane, I'm going to pick on Shane here because Shane at EMF has been working with us in getting their stations in order with metadata and using Radio DNS. And who's the person with the microphone? Is the person with the microphone handy, the microphone for questions? Who has, go give that to Shane for a second. Shane, can I put you on the spot here and ask you to just say a word or two about signing up for Radio DNS?
So yeah, we kind of started populating metadata in Radio DNS back in some of the early days when you guys were at NAB, were starting to experiment with this. And really, it's not all that difficult to put your stations into this. There are services that will do it for you, where you can enter the data on that platform, and it'll populate Radio DNS for you. Or if you have a really IT savvy team in-house, you can do it entirely in-house. Basically, it's just generating an XML file and making that available for these radios to pull down, and then tying it into the whole DNS infrastructure. So it's really is not all that difficult. In fact, they have NAB has some excellent kind of tutorial videos and how-tos posted on their site as well. So
cool. Thank you, Shane. Sorry to put you on the spot. And I have, NAB has developed a tool which allows us to inspect the Radio DNS database and look for all the US radio stations that are in there. And this morning I did that, and I filtered out the Wisconsin's information. And what you're seeing are all of the stations in Wisconsin that are registered with Radio DNS. And of course, right away you're going to notice that it's EMF, thank you, Shane, and iHeart. Okay, so, and I don't know if that's a good number for the number of radio stations in Wisconsin. I Googled it, and it said 800 radio stations. So if that's correct, that means about 4% of these stations have done this. So that means if you're driving around in an Audi in Wisconsin, you're very likely going to be seeing a lot of those generic logos, except for these stations that you see listed here. Next point here, in addition to Radio DNS, there's this Xperi AutoStage service. AutoStage is another service provider for hybrid radio to automotive manufacturers. It's an amazing system. It's so complicated. They're supporting 70,000 radio stations with this now from all over the world. And the reason is that car makers sell cars all over the world. So they want a service provider that can, you know, they can work with, whether they're in Asia or Europe or the US or South America, wherever. So again, no cost. Everybody should be signing up, reaching out to Xperi to talk about AutoStage, because as these hybrid cars start coming out, and right now it's just Mercedes for AutoStage, but I predict there's going to be some, you know, big companies going with AutoStage, some big American car companies. So, and that's the point where you start to see a large, you know, market penetration. I mentioned a minute ago that Audi was 1%. I don't know what Mercedes penetration is. I suspect it's more than Audi. But if you had a company like GM doing this or Ford, now you're starting to talk about definitely double-digit penetration in the U.S. So last point that we added to our document was that broadcasters should be thinking about nonlinear content. And we were hearing things this morning kind of about technologies that support this for streaming, not for hybrid radio, but it's really the same thing. We imagine a day when, and here's an example in the Audi, that one of the online services in the Audi was podcasts. So you can pick a podcast and listen to it in the Audi. And we can imagine a day when a broadcaster is able to display nonlinear content possibilities in a receiver like this, and a listener could pick them. For example, their morning show. Maybe the listener missed the morning show. So the morning show is available online as a a downloadable a nonlinear content type thing. So broadcasters should be thinking about that and thinking about strategies they might use to provide more nonlinear content. So that's the nuts and the bolts of our report and the message that we're trying to convey. One last point about this is that we are, at the moment, we're conducting a digital dash survey. And I would love if any radio broadcasters who are hearing this presentation and, you know, are so inclined, go to that website and take, it's just a survey which asks you how many radio stations do you support metadata for RDS or for HD radio or that sort of thing. So, because again, we're just trying to, it's kind of like a new audit, but it's we need to know where we're at. And I can tell you the early results are very mixed. You know, we have the large companies invest the resources to do it, and the smaller operations, just for one reason or another, haven't done it or can't do it. So one last topic here. I've covered most of this already, I think. I didn't mention BMW before as a company that supports hybrid radio, because the only thing they're supporting is logos and station information. They do not support streaming URLs on their hybrid platform yet, but they made an announcement last year that they're going to, and they said that they're using the same service provider for song title and artist type metadata that Audi is, and that's a company called Radio Player, which doesn't really operate in the U.S. So they're done now. And this is a key point that I didn't make. Automakers do what I did, that kind of test, and they see how poorly broadcasters are supporting their receiver, and it bothers them. It's like they go to a lot of effort and expense to build a receiver that provides a premium user experience, and those are the words that Audi uses. And they've succeeded. It really is a premium user experience, and They're the auto company that I've worked most closely with, and they are really determined to keep radio, you know, as a good service in the car. But when they look at how poorly it's being supported by the broadcasters, that does not bode well with them. And I can envision a day where they might start talking about, well, look, our cars are connected. Let's just drop that tuner. And we'll just provide on, you know, all these radio stations have streaming services anyway. It's a bad argument. I don't like it. But this is what they say. So this is another reason why it's important for car makers to, I mean, for broadcasters to support this. And again, you get into the radio DNS database. You can do a service information file. We've got all kinds of helpful information on how that goes. But this is the challenge. I mean, there's so many stations in the U.S. And we, you know, the next highest number of stations after the U.S. is, I think, Brazil at 9,000. And then, you know, nobody has this many radio stations besides us. So it's a bigger problem for us. And just to, when you look at the largest groups, because it's clear the largest groups are most likely to do this, this is a little old, this is a year or more old. That's only about 20% of the stations that are on the air. So it's not enough. We need the medium and small market folks to do this as well. So here it is, here's the action items. You gotta provide the metadata and develop a hybrid radio strategy. And I've got the broadcasters and the receiver manufacturers here. And the broadcasters need to keep working with the automakers, and we want the automakers to continue reaching out to broadcasters so together we can agree on what works best for over-the-air radio in these vehicles. So that's it. I have a few minutes for questions, so I'd be happy to answer some questions. Here's a question right up. Oh, there we go. Go ahead.
How long is it going to be before state legislatures clamp down on a screen? It's a driver distraction issue. I mean, it's got to be. My wife's got a screen in her car, and you poke at the touchscreen just to change the channel. I sit with my old radio, hit the button, and it's there.
It's an issue. No, you're right. And the driver distraction challenges are very front and center with the automakers. And apparently, automakers are comfortable with the touchscreen interfaces, for example. And I think the touchscreen interfaces are a distraction type of problem just as much as too much information on the screen might be. I can't answer your question. I don't know if somebody's going to do legislation. I suspect not. I suspect what would happen is if legislation were likely, then the industry would come up with a way to take care of it voluntarily, because industries hate to be regulated.
Well, the first thing will be is when a lawsuit comes from a crash, just like the issues with Musk's cars.
It's an issue, I know, and I guess maybe once we have those self-driving cars, we'll be good. Okay, sure, hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I got several points to make. First of all, you mentioned radio.com. Is that the same as now Odyssey?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. I should have updated that.
Okay. Your point about metadata works very well in a music environment. Well, what if you're a talk station? I live in Chicago where we have a new sports and an all-news station. And they're continuously running in their metadata advertisements for the same sponsor all day and
yeah.
all night.
Well,
that is not, how do you get through to them? I mean, it's a good idea to sell ads on the metadata
yeah.
sporadically
yeah.
And sell them separately from the airtime, but anyway.
Well, that's an issue. You'll have to take that up with your fellow broadcasters because.
What about, and this is something that needs to be addressed though in back towards the metadata people in it. What can we do about EAS, about breaking in and putting in emergency? We just had a tornado about 10 miles from me yesterday.
Yep.
I brought that up.
Right. I'm going to just stop you right there for a moment, though, to say that the commission has a further notice of proposed rulemaking right now, which talks about repetitive alerts and how to modernize EAS to take care of the kind of thing that I think you're talking about. And this is something that we're just now starting to study. In fact, NAB had a call with FEMA last week to kind of learn more about where they thought this might be going and that sort of thing. So that's something that is ongoing, is modernization of EAS, because EAS was developed many years ago, long before we had digital broadcasting and long before we had all these new technologies.
Well, it can't get any worse than it did in the last national test. That's all I can say. And finally, when you're dealing with HD, the metadata delay becomes a piece of cake.
Yeah.
You can really do much better when you're running
HD. I mean, it's baked into the system. They know, like, and they preload. Like, if you're going to have an album art for a song, it gets transmitted to the receiver on the previous song. So that, you all might know more about this than I do, but that's generally speaking, that's the idea, is it's there ready to go. So that when the song starts, the album art's there. So, and that's the timing thing that they've worked out. Hi.
The onboard databases scare me. The one thing that's worse than no information is wrong information.
Yeah.
That's definitely an issue to address. I'm surprised you didn't bring up RDS more than you did. In answer to the EAS question, and RDS does have an emergency bit that I don't think any of us use.
No, yeah, I think that's true, yeah.
But I've just, within the last 10 days, received a brand new RDS encoder from Europe that is also RDS2 capable.
Uh-huh.
I've never done it before using this encoder, but I started our Radio Text Plus on this station.
Mm-hmm.
The station that I installed this to is 100% analog, both with transmission and the console.
Yeah.
They're still playing vinyl. They're still playing CDs.
Yeah.
They don't have automated. So none of their material is going to show up in a pre-built database, guaranteed. This whole trying to take and make everybody match and nuking our data to do so is wrong. But is there any logic or sense to just, number one, using the RT Plus bits that we have and tagging some of this stuff to get a little bit more of a display? Because that's the first thing I noticed. As soon as I turned on that RT Plus tagging and sat in a BMW that was about 3 years old, all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting track title.
Yep.
I'm getting album title.
Yeah.
What I'm not getting is album art.
Yeah.
But RDS2, which this little box is capable of giving double the transmission for RDS, it's asking me for album art.
Yeah.
Is RDS2 something I can use in the States?
No.
If I build,
you could, but nobody's going to be receiving it. So, and I pulled this slide back up just to make a point, and that is that I had a Hyundai. I just recently sold it, and it had a non-HD radio with RDS and Radio Text Plus, I guess. I would see this metadata using RDS in my Hyundai, just like you're seeing it here on this Audi, which is using HD radio. So it's a car maker specific thing, but it's very capable, you're right. And if you go and read our report, you'll find that most of the technical information we talk about in our report relates to RDS.
And you actually referred to this slide as story-level metadata.
Story-level metadata,
and
yes.
And that's something that I've been looking for 15
and that's
years.
The gentleman
is
asked,
not being able to convey, both on the internet and on our radios, the subject matter to what's being talked about is a major problem. And it's one that frustrated the heck out of me when all those protests were going on here in 2008 in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on the internet and try to search for someone that's talking about what's going on. We're hamstrung. As an industry, we're hamstrung. That information is not getting out.
Yeah.
So anything that we can do to get on board and fixing this, you got me.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Can I keep going here? I know I'm past my time. Okay. Okay. Hi.
Hello, we have a text question. What reason can I give my owner for us to do radio DNS in our rural market of Wisconsin?
Because it doesn't cost very much. So you're not asking for money, really, just time. And because you want people in your community who are driving Audis with this new hybrid radio to be impressed with how your station looks and not think that it's a poor cousin that can't keep up with these other services. I mean, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Again, this is the Audi is the first car maker to provide hybrid radios. I believe it's across their entire product line. But it's coming, and it's going to, when GM and Ford start selling hybrid radios, you're going to be, your owner or whoever is going to, you know, take you out to dinner because you were ahead of the curve. So that's my view on that. So thanks.
Thank you, David, very much.
Thanks, everybody. It's been great to be here.